With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
This week, we're talking about Porsche's 911 hybrid announcement and the cool stuff going on in F1 Academy. We'll also be covering some of the sickest cars that you can import starting this year, and then doing a tab check on some cars that we've been looking at on the internet because we're sick.
I thought you said skin tag check.
Oh no.
I'm sorry.
But first, is this the final year of the R35 GTR? Welcome to the big three. I am James Pumphrey, joined as most of the time by... For the first time, actually, this is our third episode. The first time the big three have actually been on the big three together. Yeah. We've
it's
all
like
done
the logo.
It individually. Nolan's been here the whole time.
Yeah,
I won't be here next week.
Oh, really?
Wait, that's real?
Wow. Yeah, that's real. That's
I love that. Past Gas, we've been doing our other podcast, Past Gas, for like 6 years now, and I can count the number of times that we've had a sub
on one hand.
Yeah.
Literally.
But this show is literally called The Big Three. Our faces are painted on the back wall, and it's just a rotating cast, apparently.
It's fun. It's
cool. Yeah.
It is fun.
All right, I'm joined by Nolan Sykes, who has been here every week so far.
Yeah. Perfect
and
attendance.
Joe Weber, the backbone of Donut Media.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm more like a rib.
A rib.
We now have three episodes. So if you haven't listened to all of them, you can almost binge at this point.
Yeah, they're current events, but they're somewhat evergreen at the same time.
Oh, for sure.
Maybe not.
We try to throw a little mix in there. So there's some
car news moves pretty slowly.
Hey, and personalities are evergreen, baby.
That's right. You were in Paris, France.
How was it? I loved it. It was like, I keep saying it, I expected it to be very French, and it was 10,000% more French than I thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. Like, every street has 10 restaurants that do the exact same thing, and it's wine, baguettes, steak frites. And they're all packed all the time, and people just smoking cigarettes on the
front. Cool.
It was so cool.
See any cool French cars?
I was thinking about it. I saw a car that we don't have in the States called the Alfa Romeo Mito, M-I-T-O.
It's a tiny little guy.
It's a tiny little guy. I was looking it up. There is a turbocharged version that makes like 200 horsepower.
Ooh. That's fun.
And it looks fun. It's like a very tiny coupe. It reminded me of like a Geo Metro.
Alfa Romeo Mito sounds like a name that like a grandma calls like a guy named Alfie. It's like, oh, my little Alfa Romeo Mito.
He sleeps around. He's so tiny.
He sleeps around. My grandson is a whore.
But he's part of our culture.
I had a similar experience. I was in the Las Vegas airport everyone smokes there too.
There's that weird glass cage that everyone smokes in.
There were bars that were like glass caged and you could just smoke in them.
Yeah.
Which, not a fan.
I just
anymore.
Wait.
Yeah.
You know? it's like a 45 minute flight from Las Vegas to Los Angeles.
And, yeah.
You know, I don't want to be in a glass cage that's just like a smoke terrarium.
Yeah. Well, I was on my way back from Utah, which is the opposite of Las Vegas.
Yeah.
I participated in the off-road games with Matt's off-road recovery. I'm really, really good at it.
You drove the big yellow one,
right? I drove... They're all big yellow. It's his thing. But
the Morvair.
Morvair.
Yeah. Morvair.
The
okay.
Morvair?
I drove it up a wall.
That's so
what?
Sick.
Yeah.
Did you win?
It was kind of... I don't think...
Was it a competition?
No, it was more of an entertainment thing.
Yeah.
It was more of a...
There were a lot of people out there just on the
rocks.
Dude,
like 8,000 people came.
Damn. Is that more than King of the Hammers?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
They have cities over there.
Yeah.
Whoa.
But this is a lot of people, and it was cool because there were a lot of, you know, YouTube car fans there, and about halfway through the day, I realized, like, I could spot donut fans from, like... 100 yards away.
That's funny.
Because they were all wearing cool pants.
Nice.
It was like
statement pants.
So it's cool to it was great to meet all you guys out in Utah. Really, we're so isolated here in Inglewood, just making videos and recording podcasts all the time. And like, we're not impressed with each other anymore.
No.
But every once in a while, you get out in the world and you're like, oh man, those 8.5 million people live somewhere.
Yeah, it's like if you were Dave Grohl's kid, you're like, that's my dad. And everyone else is like, it's Dave Grohl.
Be like, yeah, it's just my dad who thinks he's funnier than he actually is.
Yeah, I know he sucks.
They made that movie. Yeah.
I met a donut fan in France.
Really?
Yeah, he had the yellow logo sweatshirt.
The horse one.
Oh, that's sick.
I just happened to have my backpack with a bunch of stickers on it, or in it. So I gave him a little pack of stickers, and he was blown away.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You don't get recognized as much. It's just, but once you start talking, people are like, oh,
Deadpool's friend.
You guys ready to talk about the news?
Let's do it.
Some current automotive events.
With maybe a little irreverent twist on it.
Interject with some irreverent yapping.
Let's do it. Yeah.
All right. Last week, Japanese publication Mag X.
Very cool.
Very cool. Could also be a Trump magazine. reported that 2025 will be the final year of the R35 GTR. If true, this marks the end of a very, 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 very long and iconic era for Nissan. Versions of this car have been sold for 20 years almost. Since 2007.
That's crazy.
So 18 years.
Wow.
Over the years, it has received power bumps, minor facelifts, and its performance is still impressive. When this car came out, I still hadn't been a part of Donut for another 10 years.
Yeah, that's
this
wild.
Car came out a decade before Donut.
Wow. Yeah.
I was trying to think of other cars that had a long run. Like the Countach was like 20 years, right?
Yeah. I think they had a 25th anniversary edition of that.
I think Land Rovers have had really long runs, and like maybe the G-Wagon.
Yeah, G-Wagon was a long time too. These are all very good examples because it's not just that like they've been making the GTR for this long. But it's like the same one, same generation.
Same one.
Forever.
And it's still kind of impressive. Like the
still super fast.
Drove the Nismo GTR, I think it was a 2019 or 2020 model for our GTR video.
Yeah.
And, you know, 600 horsepower on streets of Willow. And it was incredible. It felt so good to drive even then. And it became, I was like, I got to have one of these someday. Yeah. Someday.
And you say that with a lot of cars. You're like, this is my favorite car after driving.
There's something, but
I believed it in your eyes, though.
Yeah. With the GTR, though, it's like you can tell when you're thrashing that thing on track, that's where it's meant to be.
Yeah.
It's meant to be a race car.
And a GTR is one of those cars that like you want to dismiss it because the guys who drive them are not great.
That's a
for the most part, but like it is an undeniably amazing machine.
There's a reason why it's popular. That being said,
like that guy on TikTok that's like,
he's got the beard.
Guy? And just like
Dan Bilzerian.
He's like the Dan Bilzerian of cars.
I looked into this. I did not realize over the course of its life, it's only sold around 45,000 units.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That is way lower than I thought.
Way lower.
Yeah. I mean, they only sold like, I want to say 300 units last year. I mean, for comparison, there's never been a year that Mustang has sold less than that.
Yeah.
Wow. They came close with 47,000, but
Think of it, like it is special every time I see one on the road.
Definitely.
Still is. Still get excited.
Yeah.
I was driving down PCH one day and I saw this like 50-year-old Japanese dude driving a silver Nismo GTR.
That's sick.
And I was just like, that is it. That is about as cool as it gets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, he's really like the opposite clean, of Dan Bilzerian.
He looked like Bunta. Yeah. Opposite. Probably smoked.
He's in that glass cage.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
He goes to the Budweiser glass bar
at McCarran Airport.
Yeah. So MagX reports that only 1,500 more beefy absolute units will be made report has been repeated by credible outlets like Car and Driver and Road and Track. They repeated on the Mag X article. That's what I'm most. It's like sad to see the R35 go, but it's had a really good run. But every generation of GTR has been so undeniably awesome.
Yeah.
Like what it is there? There's got to be an R36.
Yeah, I wonder if it's going to be a hybrid or...
They were showing off that was it Tokyo Auto Salon. They were showing off that concept.
Uh-huh.
The really like angular... It looks like it's from like an 80s arcade game.
Yeah.
And it's like a hybrid.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Something like that would be cool.
Be cool.
Speaking of legendary hybrid sports cars that have been around forever, but maybe are hybrid now. The current gen of Porsche 911 is looking to its future. Porsche, yes, that Porsche, recently announced that the long-anticipated 911 hybrid will launch this summer.
Wow.
That is soon, boys.
Yeah.
It's already spring.
It's like 3 months from now.
I'm already shopping for summer.
I'm wearing shorts right now.
Yeah.
You are. Maybe a little bit premature.
What? But... It was hot yesterday. I was sweating.
I took a walk yesterday. It was moderate.
That's my hot.
The quasi-electrified version finally arrives almost 6 years after it was first announced in 2018. Porsche hybrid systems have been in development at the racetrack since 2011 when it first used the technology in a GT3 car and have been seen in road cars like the 918.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's a good car.
That is, it's pretty good. Car.
That's a pretty good car.
It's only maybe the best car I've ever been in.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. So, you know, we often talk about Porsche purists.
Yeah.
It's a group of enthusiasts that are against change, let's say, or maybe not the most warm towards the idea of change.
Yeah.
The car looks the same as it did in 1965, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty close.
What do you guys think about the 911 going hybrid?
I think it's pretty intriguing. Over the years, I've really become a lot more interested in hybrid cars themselves because I think when strip away all the stigma that we need to leave in like 2007 with the Prius and everything
It in 2007 with the Prius.
When you think about it, though, it's hybrid technology is so cool.
It really is.
Especially when implied in a really aggressive way like the 918 where you know, it can cover those the gaps in shifting and stuff like that.
That's a big thing for me.
F1 cars and LMP cars are all hybrids. Like the top tiers of motorsport are hybrid, right? So there's no reason that we should be feeling weird about this at all.
Yeah, I think it's past the point of feeling weird. I think it's just the next logical step. And I'm surprised it took this long.
Yeah.
Other than the fact that like Porsche's kind of slow to mess with the 911. You know?
I mean, they do have the best electric car on the planet with the Taycan.
I think they needed to come out with that to convince people
And like
this was a good idea.
Break some Nürburgring records with it and just be like, hey, just so you know, if we do an electric car, it's still going to be a Porsche. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We actually, it just came out today, the day of our recording, but we drove a bunch of Porsches at different price points. And I think Porsche more than any company ever, like every Porsche feels like a Porsche.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so like the Taycan's no exception. Porsche is very conscious of what their cars feel like to drive.
Yeah.
And again, like they've already proven with the 918, like they kind of use hybrid technology as a power adder.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not down with it, it's kind of the same as being like, well, I just like naturally aspirated engines, which is fine. Just don't be a dick about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's fine to like what you like. Just don't be a dick about it.
I mean, Porsche, they've been developing their own hybrid systems for a long time now. I mean, the Cayenne has been hybrid for a long time. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could get it in hybrid. The what is it? The Panamera. You can get that in hybrid with a twin turbo V8 and a hybrid system on board. That's like that's so sick, cool.
Uh-huh.
So I have no doubts that this is going to be an amazing car to drive.
For sure, dude.
Yeah. I think it's going to take just like a little bit for people to get used to it, especially the purists, but whatever.
Here's the thing. I just think it's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
And so as soon as people start driving it and they're like, oh my God, this thing is incredible.
Especially if it has one of those like EV2 engine modes where it kicks on the motor as you're pulling away.
Oh, like the Le Mans.
You need that. Yeah.
For sure. The hybrid will be one new model among traditional ICE models. So normal 911s are not going anywhere. It will not be a plug-in system. We know that.
Yeah.
Many auto news outlets have speculated the new hybrid system will be a 400-volt system similar to the one found in the Corvette E-Ray, which uses a small battery and electric motor to power the front wheels and an ICE engine to power the rear wheels. The hybrid is a part of a mid-cycle refresh for the current 992 generation, which is set to continue through 2027. It's also a sign of things to come as the next generation is expected to lean more into electrification, not surprisingly. And like Porsche has always been sort of ahead of the curve as far as cool technologies go. And they've always made stuff that wasn't necessarily the most fun or the most like good, fun and good. Like automatic transmissions, very early on, Porsche was like, we bet these can be faster than your hand.
Yeah.
And like automatics just sucked. And Porsche was like, no. We can make these faster than your hand and foot at the same time. Like we can beat that.
Yeah.
And turbos is another technology that Porsche very early on was like, yeah, these are kind of scary and crazy now, but we think that these are going to be really good. And both of those things are now in almost every 911.
Every production car,
but like in Porsches especially, they are phenomenal. Porsche has amazing autos and amazing turbo tech. So I think the hybrid stuff, just add it to the list.
And I think the E-Ray is like a good comparison because they use this hybrid system that like gains energy really quick from the braking and dumps it really fast, but gives you a ton of power right away.
That's such a good system.
So it's not meant for efficiency. It's meant for power.
Yeah.
And so it's not going to be a Prius.
This is
it's
not the hybrid system that they want the Brotherhood to have.
No.
I was thinking that.
This is, oh my God. 2024 might be a controversial year for Porsche diehards, but it's an exciting one for JDM fans. This year, some of the most iconic Japanese cars that were never sold in the U.S. became legal to import thanks to a 25-year import rule, including the R34 GTR and the S15 Silvia.
I can finally afford both of them.
And the Mitsubishi Lancer Evolution 6. That is a pretty good one.
That's a good year.
Yeah. Big year for Nissan fans. Nice S15 vintage. Silvia.
Yeah.
Bucket list car.
Yeah.
Definitely one that I want to own one day.
That's probably the least, probably the most affordable one on that list.
You can probably get a Evo for cheaper.
You think so? Oh, wow.
Yeah. I bet Silvias are about 40 or 50.
Ugh. God dang.
Yeah. For an old Nissan with 250 horsepower. The steering wheel on the wrong side.
That's a fun part, though.
Is it?
I like that.
I feel like that's a teen thing.
No, maybe. Oh, I guess I'm a teen then.
Yeah. All right, some of these cars are more affordable than others. R34 GTR in particular is very expensive, and I assume will get more expensive now that they're legal.
Well, they already like filled warehouses with ones that weren't
Top
legal
Rank
yet.
Famously has their warehouse over in Japan with a ton of R34s. Good thing, though, R32 prices are coming down because of it.
Yeah,
I think it's pretty sweet.
Which is sweet.
I feel like there's such a difference between the R32 and the
R34, though. But dude, like, get a crummier R32.
Yeah.
Put a cage in it. Get some racing seats, nice tires.
For sure.
That's a fun.
That thing's sick. I like R33s too.
R33s.
Hopefully coming
low
down.
Low key, my favorite one.
Yeah, but I would love an S15 strawberry face. That's what they call it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Whoa.
Because of the lights.
S15 taillights.
Nothing like strawberries. Do they?
I mean, take it up with Japan.
Yeah.
Maybe Japanese strawberries look different.
I bet they do.
Yeah.
We got a bunch of weird.
We don't. Their strawberries are not GMO. There's only like 8 things that we sell in America that are GMO. And
yeah.
Yeah. And also GMOs are not necessarily bad.
I agree with that. I'm just saying we got some fat berries.
Yeah, we do.
We got some big
Maybe
fat
it's
berries.
Because of the American farmer.
That's all I'm saying. Is when you try to grow really your own little fruits, they're tiny.
Yeah.
And you go to the grocery store, they're really fat.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
Yeah. Hey, GMOs saved a billion people's lives.
Yeah.
Because they were able to grow four times as much corn on the same stalk.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
whatever.
So get off of it, millennials. This podcast episode is dedicated to the American farmer.
Yeah.
Thank you. No matter what Joe says. All right, so brand new an R34 Skyline GTR was about $45,000. $85,000 in today's money.
Okay, yeah, that's pretty...
Today, a basic GTR in good condition will easily cost $140,000 or more. Holy. Low mileage or one of the many special edition variants. Yeah. Go for over $200,000, $300,000.
What's the midnight purple one?
$400,000. Midnight purple
the
2.
The V-Spec 2. Is that the model? There's so many special editions.
Nurspec. That's the color. In Millennium Jade.
Oh, yeah.
That's a great color.
I'm drooling.
I'm pre-coming for cars. We're
normal.
It's a normal thing. It's a normal thing. My boner hurts from cars. Is there any good news? Sort of. Thanks to the enormous popularity of the R34 GTR, prices of R32s, like Nolan just said, have actually come down slightly. Now people seem to be sleeping on S15s and Evo 6s, which can both be had for $35,000 to $45,000 for 20-something-year-old Nissans.
Can I be vulnerable for a second with you guys?
Yeah.
Always.
Always, dude. That's why we're here, dude. That's why we started this cast, dude.
As a teen, I was into American and German cars.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Okay. And I was kind of late to the S15 party.
That's cool, man. That's cool.
And I was like, what is this car that ripped off a Pontiac Grand Prix?
What?
It still looks to me like Pontiac Grand Prix taillights.
Yeah.
There's a Nissans in general share taillight designs with way lamer cars. Yeah. Like R34s look like cool. Impalas.
A little bit generic, but they're so
Yeah, they're
sick.
Nissan. Yeah, they're like Nissans. The fact that Nissan offered 300ZX, Silvia, 180SX,
mm-hmm. yeah.
which is S13 Silvia mm-hmm. essentially, and a Skyline. All at the same time.
And that's why they're broke.
Really they explains like why they're
six
broke.
Six different six-cylinder engines at the same time, too.
Don't forget about that B15 Sentra.
Oh,
Sentra R.
Mm-hmm. A lot of really cool Nissans. Turns out making cool stuff doesn't pay the bills.
Yeah.
Gotta make.
I think when I was looking up those GTR numbers in 2023, I want to say they sold 850,000 units total, Nissan.
Whoa. Yeah, they're not good.
That's not.
They're not good at business. So that's the one thing that does make me worried that maybe an R36 isn't on the horizon.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's gonna like share the platform with the Araya or something like that.
Yeah, it's gonna make it I don't think they'll ever make it like an SUV. And I think it would be a good move to keep it because you like a flagship model goes like a long way for just that brand isn't absolutely lame, but they might just not have the money.
I think that's kind of it. I mean, we saw that with the new Z. I mean, that shared a lot of the architecture from the 370Z.
Mm-hmm.
The new Z is still very good.
The new Z is very sick.
Really I love that car. Course. But, I mean, they didn't have a huge budget. I think they only had, I want to say, $30 million to develop that car.
All right. A lot of people have their eyes on these cars, and we have our eyes on cars, too.
That's true. It's time for a tab check.
Tab check. All right. We're all sick with a disgusting disease called car enthusiasm. And one of the symptoms of said disease is looking at cars to buy when you have no business mm-hmm. or need to buy any car.
It's even taking a toll on my computer RAM having so many tabs open.
Yeah. So we always have, all of us have multiple tabs open constantly of Craigslist, Facebook Marketplace, eBay, OfferUp,
OfferUp,
various forums, all that thing sold in 2008.
You're an auto trader guy.
I love that auto trader.
I like car gurus.
I still, because I don't have a Facebook account, but I go on Craigslist pretty regularly,
mm-hmm.
and the quality has dipped in the last 5 years.
Yeah, but you can get boomer cars on Craigslist.
So I'm strictly Craigslist guy.
Speaking of Craigslist, I've got one tab for you guys this week.
And it's a boomer car.
It is a boomer car. Oh, I finished
Craigslist is the best place to find boomer cars because boomers go to Craigslist to sell their cars, and they go to Facebook to learn about politics. And
yes, to do their own research.
Yeah, like do not steal my photos. I'm posting this.
I don't want to put my photos of my car on Facebook, then Zuckerberg might own it.
Yeah, exactly. That's how it works. Yeah, I mean, I finished my Chrysler last, or finished, got it running. Yeah. I don't want to, I don't need another car, but, you know, I'm always looking at old Mopars. This here is a 68 Dodge Charger.
Can you zoom in on the description?
I got the description on my phone right here. Let me read this to you. It's a little sus, guys. It's a little
sometimes
sus.
I like to read it just because the punctuation can go a long way.
And I quote, owner passed away and the car needs to be moved ASAP since the property is sold.
Okay.
Car is sitting for many years, so it's not running and needs to be towed. Okay. Calls only. There's the number. Blur that out. Dude. When sold, the ad will be deleted. So it hasn't been deleted
yet. Check, check, check.
54,000 miles?
They only want $6,000 for this Charger, what? Which leads me to believe... Is this the new, you know, we've seen the Toyota Celica, quote unquote, ad where it's really a Supra and it's like, oh yeah, my dad had this car. Yeah, I wonder if it's the same. Is this fake? I wonder. The ad is still up.
It is almost too good to be true.
Way too good. This car right here, you could probably sell that for $25,000.
It's sort of the cliche checklist of like owner's dead.
Owner's dead. Yes. Gotta
I
go.
Need it gone.
Yeah.
I need it gone.
I don't know about it.
I don't know what it is. They don't even call it a Charger. They say Dodge RT on there.
It also has no email address.
No, it's a phone number.
Which is sick.
Also
leads me to believe it might be real because
that's right. That's why
this person's just not connected with the world.
Yeah.
Is the number spelled out like they do?
Yes.
Okay. Let's call it.
Should we call it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
see if this is real. I'll do it right now. I'll do it right now.
What do they answer? It's like, family, hey.
Okay, let's do it.
We'll be quiet. You just talk.
Yeah.
But we're not prank calling this person.
Still ringing. They're not picking up.
No.
Oh.
Hi. So that ad on Craigslist is fake about the Dodge RT. Please do not contact me. They put the wrong number. Please do not contact me about a Dodge RT 1968. That was a fake ad. They used the wrong number. Please do not call me. Thank you. Bye.
Damn.
Finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options. Hey man, just contacting you about that 68 Dodge RT. Really interested. No, sorry about that. See you later.
Oh my god. That was the
jerk.
That's so unexpected.
Do you think that someone like is pranking this dude?
I don't
and
know.
Put his like an X. He's like, you know what? I'm just going to blow his phone up. What a bad situation.
That sucks.
So much so that outward going message.
That's
I don't even have an out message.
That's got to be a prank on that guy.
Got
for
to be.
Sure.
But also, if it happens enough that you have to change your message, you can go and flag it. Flag it as a fake post.
Well, best of luck to that guy and whoever... created that ad. If it is a prank on that guy, one, that's so mean.
It's diabolical.
And two, that is hilarious.
That's very funny.
That's
maybe that guy
up,
did.
Dude.
I just assumed that guy did something real bad.
Something bad, man.
I have a 1986 Ford Aerostar.
Of course, dude.
But
on
it's
tri-spoke wheels.
It's some random build. It says Boyd Carrington.
Boyd Coddington.
Boyd Coddington supercharged. Ford Aerostar.
What?
Wait, did
Boyd build this?
With a 5-speed, yes.
What?
And it's on sale for like pretty cheap.
How cheap? $5,900?
Yeah.
$6,500. That's...
I think we should buy this as a channel because I'm not going to buy it.
No,
but I think it'd be really funny if we bought it.
I mean, that's a legit Boyd Coddington car, that's...
Yeah.
I can't imagine
really.
Boyd Coddington...
Me
building
neither.
A Ford Aerostar. Maybe it was on... I just don't see that happening.
I don't know what the circumstances would be.
Supercharger.
Yeah, it's got a huge aftermarket supercharger.
Maybe he made a supercharger for that engine.
Oh God, purple interior.
What does like, the description say?
Yeah, let me see the interior.
It's not great. The interior is not great.
And that leads me to...
All right, zoom in a little bit. All right, own a piece of history from the man himself, Boyd Coddington, the king of hot rods, Ford Aerostar V6 supercharged, 5-speed manual. That's cool.
Yeah.
59,000 original miles. Motor is off a Thunderbird SC. Van runs, but might need a tune-up. Has been sitting for a while, but fires up. Very custom van he did here. Yeah. Very custom van he did here. Super head turner. Clean pink in hand, still under his son's name.
No way.
No, not Boyd Connington's son.
It's got to be.
No, he's selling it for someone else.
Oh.
But yeah, dude, $6,500 for a shitty van that with an engine swap that doesn't run.
I bet it makes like 172 horsepower with a supercharger.
Aerostar, can we confirm if
this thing is a ripoff? Don't buy it.
$6,500.
You're really taking the wind out of my sails with this one.
I'm saving your life.
You're taking
it. All right, that thing sucks. Nolan's was fake. Joe's sucks.
Off to a great start.
Off to a great start.
What did you pick this
week? All right, so James? I am not currently looking at cars. Yeah, I'm deep into a project.
Smart.
Oh, you're in the glass cage of project car.
Yeah, so this podcast airs on Wednesday. This Monday after this, I will be starting to shoot a video where rebuilding my E30.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's currently just got out of paint. It's got no suspension on it, very no cool. engine, no interior.
Can you leak what color it is or no?
It's black.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you kept it black.
Yeah. Can you leak what color?
I don't know.
I can leak whatever you want, dude. So I am not looking at whole cars. Yeah. Yeah. I'm being very good at that.
I like that distinction. Whole car. Yeah.
I'm not shopping for whole cars.
No, just little pieces.
Just pieces of them.
Find a loophole.
So currently, I have a lot of wheels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you do.
I like buying them. There's a lot of wheels that I wanted when I was a kid that I couldn't afford.
Yeah.
And have just got them.
Yep.
You know? Yeah. It's like shoes, I guess.
Same.
Like, I've always wanted these.
Whole... Yeah. Room full of torque thrust twos.
Yeah. Do you?
No.
Oh.
That'd be funny.
I have way more wheels on my car than I need or can fit. You can mm-hmm. only put four on it at a time.
Yeah.
I have a set for this build for the video series being built in Germany, a set of magnesium wheels.
Didn't you just build wheels?
Well, I'm swapping to five lug.
Oh,
so
God,
those wheels that I built
that's
are
legit. You
gotta useless
do that. You gotta
now.
Do that, yeah.
What are you gonna do with those wheels?
I'm gonna keep them, and they look very similar to these. Okay, so what in my tab check, I have a set of 16 inch BBS Mahle wheels.
Classic.
So these are like old and special.
Yeah,
they look a little similar to your.
Okay, so zoom in on the eBay thing. So these are one piece. They have a lot of dish in them.
Oh, they're one piece. Okay.
Yeah, they're 16x7, 16x8. These are from the 70s or 80s.
Yeah.
The thing I really like about them, I think, can you zoom in even further, is the center cap is big and little at the same time like that. And then there's like the star pattern kind of around all the lug holes.
That looks cool.
So I love these.
Yep.
These are $3,000. They're not a crazy size. They're just $3,000 because the thing that's different is, like I said, the star thing. I like that. I like the lip.
Uh-huh.
Does the center cap different. Come out?
Center cap does come out. Okay. See, worth it. Yeah. And then the center cap is different. Just so I have the wheels that I built on the channel.
Yeah.
That look very similar to this.
Yeah,
are actually much nicer than these because they're multi-piece.
You're not helping your case.
And then also those black wheels right there are another set of 16-inch one-piece mesh wheels made by BBS that are for my car as well because I wanted a black set of wheels. So those are $300 that I, which is like a great deal.
Oh, that is a great
deal. For
the
set?
For the black ones, yeah.
That's like, you can't not buy those.
Yeah, and they're not very different from these at all.
They're not.
So I got the black ones because like I have our, like 200 treadwear R compound tires on my big boy wheels. And I just need wheels with tires that can go in the rain.
Yeah.
So that's what those are for. But they're very similar, and I'm still seriously considering buying them because I'm sick. And like both are very similar to the other set of wheels that I also have.
Yeah.
And they're all made by the same company and very similar designs.
So you will have four sets of BBS wheels.
I would have three sets of BBS wheels. There's also different sets of BBS wheels that I have tabs open for, like the Dream Wheels BBS E50s. Those are magnesium.
This
mesh
is like
wheels.
One of those things where you put a bunch of stuff in your cart and then you delete right before you check out.
Yeah. Well, these are all old. That's what makes them. That's what like motivates me to buy them.
Yeah.
Because like they might not be available later.
Well, yeah. BBS went out of business for a while and everyone was freaking out. But then they got bought by a different wheel
company.
They
got bought by KW, but they're not making these anymore. They actually do still make E50s.
Oh.
But I also want a set of E27s. So, yeah, that's how deep I am. I'm just really into mesh wheels.
Yeah. You're wheelie invested.
I'm wheelie invested. Jimmy calls it wheel estate.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice. That is a great name for
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Well, that was a great tab check.
Yeah, that's a good tab check.
Good variety on that one.
I think ourselves into a mental hospital. All right, for the past 2 weeks, we've been following Formula One here on the show. We held a draft where we each picked two drivers out of the hat to follow all season, both on and off the racetrack. And since F1 had this weekend off, we thought that this would be a great time to start talking about F1's sister series, F1 Academy.
Yeah. This is super exciting. I thought that we were just going to pick our favorite people. So I picked Bustamante, and then I realized that we're doing a draft. So I'm kind of sad. If I don't get Bustamante, I'm probably going to.
If I get Bustamante, I'm going to rub it in.
Oh, come on. But I did get merch this week.
I saw. Yeah, your Carlos Sainz shirt.
That's sick.
Very cool.
I bought a Ferrari hat.
Nice.
Yeah.
You got Charles Leclerc.
No, I have Lewis.
Oh, yeah.
Who's not yet Ferrari, but will be. And I just like Ferrari in general. They seem like the best option other than Red Bull, like as far as like winning.
Red Bull.
And they all have teams. A lot of them have teams in the F1 Academy.
Mm-hmm. So F1 Academy was created in 2022. It's an all-female racing series to help provide women with a path to higher levels of racing, including Formula One. Its inaugural season was last year, 2023. They drive cars similar to F4 chassis, turbocharged 1.4 liter four cylinders with 174 horsepower. They go about 149 miles per.
I feel like I could do Formula 4 with those specs.
You think you could make the cut?
No, I wouldn't make the cut, but I wouldn't be absolutely terrified to drive 174 horsepower.
No, that'd be fun.
Yeah, it'd be very fun.
You sound like one of those people who's saying like, oh, I bet a high school boys F1 team could beat these girls.
No, quite the opposite. I'm saying I wouldn't make the cut, but it would be fun to do
try F1. Out the car.
Yes.
I like F1 Academy. I think in general, like one of my kind of frustrations with F1 is like it's just the same old names and just people who suck just have jobs.
Well, and I read something that was like the last 430 days, Max has won. There's only been one other driver to win first, and it was Carlos Sainz.
Yeah.
It's like killing the sport.
Snooze fest. But even like beyond those guys, it's like, I don't give a shit about fucking Logan Sargeant. Like who, like, get out of here. Like, is this guy going to win? No. Then, like, let's get some new blood in there. I think right now there's a lot of, like...
Well, he is new blood.
Well, whatever. That guy. or, like, Lance Stroll. Like, who cares, dude? But, like, the younger guys, like, that are not in the sport yet, that people are following, and because of, like, the internet and Drive to Survive and stuff, like, we know who they are.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh, cool, when he gets a shot. I think F1 Academy is, like, a longer play, but... Mm-hmm. It is a promise that F1 is conscious
yeah.
and trying, doing a lot of stuff to like inject more exciting characters into the sport.
And I think the name is less patronizing than Formula W.
Yeah.
Which is like Formula, the women's Formula.
Yeah. My vote was for Formula Angels. I thought that would have been a great name. Formula Angels. And
to your point, James, about like you brought up Logan Sargeant. I think the problem is that like some of these younger guys or new drivers will get put onto teams that suck.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
you're like, okay, that guy must suck. Uh-huh. When a guy like Oliver Bearman, he gets a shot in a top car.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh shit, like he can actually do some damage.
Yeah. Maybe. Right, that's what happened with George Russell too.
When he subbed in for Lewis. And also, not a great example, but Nick DeVries at Monza a couple years ago, he finished top 10 and we're like, oh shit, this is awesome. Then when he finally did drive, he got booted because he was not great. But I think it's like right driver or new driver in the right car at the right time makes a huge difference, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the drivers in F1 Academy must be between 16 and 25 years old. They can only race in the series for 2 seasons.
So this is a great series for Leonardo DiCaprio.
Leonardo DiCaprio is the top 5 drivers in 2024 will receive FIA super license points, which you need to drive an F1 car.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Why do women need their own pipeline into motorsport is what a bunch of guys who can't drive are probably asking. Well, most drivers get into karting at a young age, but few development programs are as interested in taking girls as they are boys because more boys have been racing forever. When girls do make it in, they get significantly less track time than boys. Motorsport is super expensive and girls have a harder time finding sponsorships because there's not a lot of examples of women who have won and receive lower funding than their male counterparts.
Which is, again, to your point, though, crazy because you have drivers who suck that have huge sponsorships.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's totally.
Like Mazepin is like...
Well, I mean, he got booted out, though.
I know, but the fact that he even... his dad was rich, but the fact that he even had a shot was like, come on.
Yeah, again, low-tier team that needed that money.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not like Ferrari took him on. Although he was part of their program,
I think. If you're like... If you say that things are fair, like if you don't acknowledge that like the way everything is set up, like in general, if you don't acknowledge that it's like unfair, you're either one of the people who's benefiting from the fact that things are unfair, or you're a fucking sucker. And so like either way, fuck you. You know, like you're either like a guy who's like at the top and be like, hey, I kind of like how things are. Like me and mine are like taken care of because like we set up this system to like exclude people and like we're good here. Mm-hmm. Or you're a fool and a sucker. And like then like I don't know what to tell you. But like I think F1 Academy is great. I think getting more people into the sport is awesome. Like Nolan said a bunch of times, like it's kind of just fact like, the best driver in the world will probably never drive an F1 car because we can't find them because it's so hard to get into it. So, I think this is great. I think we need more of this. I think get more people behind the wheel and hopefully F1 won't be a sport that you have to like in spite of the fact that it's so fucking boring to watch.
Yeah.
Like it is so like as far as a spectator, like F1 is totally dependent on the like,
battles.
I get
to the top.
Like it's so dull.
Did you guys see any of the Jeddah race for the F1 Academy? The first maybe it wasn't the
I
first
followed
one,
it, yeah.
There is some controversy because one of the French drivers for I think Williams, Pin is their last name.
She's mine favorite.
Oh, okay.
she's mine favorite.
She's mine favorite.
she didn't see the checkered flag. She was ahead. In first, she didn't see the checkered flag and her team didn't inform her or something like that. They're maybe too busy celebrating. She accidentally raced another lap, which is a violation. Mm-hmm. She got a 20-second penalty and she got bumped from first to ninth, which says a lot for like how close the races are.
Fair enough.
If 20 seconds means the difference from first to ninth.
Yeah. So it's, I think Evelyn Academy is going to be a lot more exciting competition. Obviously the cars aren't as fast, but just pretend they're boys.
Don't know if that's the takeaway.
Just pretend they're boys. So obviously, we want more people in racing because it's just going to make racing better. The series gives participants more than half of the funds needed to compete, so they only have to raise the other half from sponsors.
That's
great. F1 Academy drivers are also integrated into the larger team apparatus of the parent teams like Ferrari, Red Bull, Mercedes, similar to F2 and F3, because like as important as track time, it's like getting the opportunity to talk to Lewis Hamilton.
Yes,
getting the opportunity to know like the team principals and stuff like that, and like the engineers, because like this is a lifelong career.
Yeah.
And like deals and like people, decisions happen in like things take years to go through.
And there's so, like, a reason that like old race car drivers become consultants or team leads or something. Yeah. It's like the community and who you talk to and rub elbows with.
Yeah.
Like Lando, my guy, my pick this year, was hanging out with Bustamante.
Yeah.
Doing a little photo shoot. And I think that's really important.
Here's how the racing works. Races, there's seven, they race at seven rounds on the F1 calendar at the same track, same place. Each round consists of two 30-minute races. There's 15 drivers across five teams, so three drivers per team. Select rounds feature a wild card entry where a 16th driver from the race's host region is like a hometown hero.
That's fun.
Yeah, is invited to race in a car supplied by the reigning team champion, Prima Racing. That's cool.
Interesting. That is cool.
Yeah, the racing is also very close. During the second half of the last season, the gap between the top 10 drivers was under 0.3 seconds.
Wow. Yeah.
And here on the Big Three, we're going to keep you guys updated on all the goings on in F1 Academy as part of our F1 segment. In order to do that, though, we need to have an F1 Academy draft.
Go ahead and grab one of them.
Come on, Bustamante, if I don't get you, that's cool. Okay. My pick is Leah Block.
Ken Block's daughter.
I'm super happy with that.
I'm glad that one of us picked her because I think that is proof to me that like they're doing a good job recruiting drivers.
Yes.
Like, name a female driver in her teens that has more notoriety than Leah Block.
Yeah,
like for sure. And I mean, I think it's awesome.
That's great.
All right. Who do I have? Emily DeHaes.
All right.
DeHaes. Emily with an E.
Here we go. I got Jessica Edgar.
Okay.
Okay. And you might see from me and Nolan's reactions, we're not super familiar with these women yet, but neither is anyone else, and we aim to change that.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm happy with Leah Block.
Yeah, Leah Block. Great.
All right, cool. Emily. Yeah. Emily.
Emily.
You know what? I'm still going to follow Bustamante.
Yeah, we'll follow all. We'll report on the whole series, but we're rooting extra hard for these drivers.
Yeah. We have to follow them on social media.
I know. I hope they have merch. If not, I make merch, so maybe we'll do a donut,
some bootleg,
an Emily DeHaes by donut collab.
Yeah,
that might be our way. We might be able to capitalize on these women.
Yeah. Some money.
Get into F1.
I knew I liked it for some reason.
We could take advantage of their inexperience.
Money.
It's really a thought I had. It's systemic. It's just ingrained in the way things work. So we got.
So that
that's why we have to be conscious of it and fight it. All right. Thank you guys for tuning in to the Big Three. This thing's going to come out every Wednesday, no matter who is hosting. But no matter who is hosting, email us at thebig3@donutmedia.com. Check out our other podcast, Pass Gas, if you want more of a historical thing. We are last week we were number one and number two automotive podcast on Apple. So thank you guys. That was the goal, and it happened in the first 2 weeks. So
thank you so much.
Nowhere to go but up.
Comment on our YouTube video of what you want us to cover. We listen to you guys every week, so don't think we're not paying attention. We're watching you.
Find us Donut Podcast is a different YouTube channel than our other one. Donut Podcast on Instagram, Donut Podcast on TikTok. Check us out. Share it. Word of mouth is still the best way to let people know about podcasts. All right, guys. Have a great week in motors. I love you.